Welcome back to Macabre Mondays, where mystery meets the macabre with your favorite Deadly Mary duo. I'm Ale.
And I'm Tom.
Your guides through the strange, the sinister, and the spooky. Guys, do I have a treat for you, okay? If you're listening right now, this is going to be the start of a new series, okay?
Ooh.
Yes. Now, I literally just told Tom about this series like an hour before we started recording because I, again, like to leave him blind. While we go into things. And he was pretty ecstatic.
I gotta say I was.
Yeah. So, as we all know, the internet is full of places we probably spend way too much time in. Okay? I know everybody doom scrolls sometimes.
I was gonna say, I do scroll.
You doom scroll. It's got Reddit threads. It's got TikToks. It's got abandoned forums. It's got old blogs, Craigslist. It's got a lot of dark and dangerous, spooky areas.
Oh,
right?
No.
Yeah. And somehow, when you're on the internet, sometimes you may find yourself down a little rabbit hole at like 1 a.m. I know I do.
I was going to say, hold on. Don't be saying you may. That's a you, as in me.
I, yes.
Singular, first person.
Yes.
You.
And well, every once in a while, buried between all the normal stuff that we do on our phones, you may end up coming across something that makes you stop scrolling. I'm sure you've experienced this. That does happen,
yeah.
Yeah? So tonight, we're starting a new series on Macabre Mondays called Internet After Dark.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm. This is going to be where I'm going to bring you stories that I find online that are the strangest, the spookiest, the creepiest, the most disturbingest, and honestly, just weird enough that I can't stop thinking about them. Okay. Now, a lot of these, I haven't done singular episode on different stories that I've read online that were posted by, you know, publicly posted by people and all that, because it's hard to find a story that's going to last a whole podcast episode. You get what I'm saying? So I figured I'm going to bring the best of both worlds and we're going to cover a couple of them in every Internet After Dark episode of this series.
This is just taking me right back to when we first started dating, and I would come spend the night at your place, and you would read, or I would hear you listening to spooky stories like this.
Remember I told you, I was like, oh my god, do you want me to read you a scary story before you go to bed?
Guys.
You were like, no. I want to go to sleep.
I'm going to just let you know. Macabre Mondays has been going since before Macabre Mondays. It just never was recorded how terrified she would make me.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, we were just dating. I had not really known this woman. So imagine trying to go to sleep in what is still technically a stranger's home. And they just got telling you about this creepy, spooky story of how this girlfriend killed her boyfriend brutally, and got rid of the body and got away with it.
I know.
How's that going to make anyone feel?
I know. Hey.
And now I'm married.
Now you're married to me. And you're having a grand swell old time.
I do. Now I get to go to bed listening to Neil deGrasse instead of
I switched it up.
Stuff,
I've switched
so
it up. Yeah.
I
yes,
will
I've
say,
switched
I appreciate
it up.
That.
I know. It's all about compromise. Well, some of these stories may come from Reddit. Some of them may come from like old message boards, archived websites, maybe anonymous posts, or honestly, whatever strange corner of the internet that I find myself in. That's technically what these episodes are going to be about for this series. And since they already creeped me the hell out, okay, naturally, I'm going to have to bring them here and freak Tom and you guys out. Okay, so join me for the ride.
There's too many listeners that enjoy you getting me super
freaked out.
Spooked.
Yeah. No, and these, honestly, like, so I might do, I want to see, let me know what you guys think, okay? If you guys like these episodes or you don't, I'm trying to get a gauge because it's going to be the same layout as usual. You know, I'll be talking about different stories that I find online. It's going to be coming from people who have shared publicly. I'm going to do my best to retell them in my own words and, you know, just like typical episode where I do extra research or I add extra context, but I'm always going to do my best to let you guys know where these are coming from. Cause sometimes people post anonymously, so it's kind of hard to like reach out, but regardless, I will always put all the sources like we usually do in our website. So if you guys want to go check out and go down the rabbit hole yourself, I encourage, I encourage. Words of great encouragement. Amaze, amaze, amaze. Now, without further ado, for our first Internet After Dark episode.
I don't like how the tone changed.
I'm bringing you three stories today that freaked me the hell out when I read them. Now, mind you, I read these while it's dark, it's late, you know, it's quiet.
Guys, it's almost midnight.
It's almost midnight right now, and this is exactly what I wanted.
Stop. Just get into it already, woman.
So lower your lights, light a candle, and follow me down the rabbit hole. Welcome to Internet After Dark. Cue lightning strike. We're starting with one that began with a few post-it notes inside an apartment.
I'm already not liking this.
Okay, our first story starts in Massachusetts in April of 2015. Now, in April 2015, OP, which I'm going to relate... Okay, just for context, I'm going to reference the original poster. So when it... Because this is a Reddit story. So on Reddit, it's kind of slang to say... It's like slang Reddit to say OP. I don't even want to say slang,
but
it's... Oh,
is that like original poster?
Yeah, original poster.
I knew.
I know you did.
I'm not even on Reddit, but... You learned.
So even on Reddit, if somebody posts something and it's like their post that they posted and then people are commenting under it and they respond, it'll show up OP on it in like a light blue text, pretty much letting you know that they're the original poster.
Okay.
So that's how I'm going to reference said poster is by OP. So anytime you hear that, just know it's original poster.
It's an OP.
OP. So on April 15th, OP finds a yellow post-it note sitting on their desk in their apartment. It looked like a normal reminder, just a few errands that they needed to get done. Great. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Except they don't remember writing it.
Okay, yeah, I don't remember writing half the stuff I wrote.
True, I don't really, you know, I have plenty of post-it notes. Yeah. Sometimes they kind of get lost. But what makes this even stranger was that they hadn't told anyone about those errands either. So maybe nobody else could have written them down, okay? But the thing is that the handwriting also didn't really look exactly like OP's handwriting. But at first, they try to give themselves a reasonable explanation, right? That's really nothing out of the ordinary. Yeah, as one would, because I would too. You know, maybe they had written it while they were half asleep. You know, maybe the handwriting looked different. Sometimes my handwriting changes based off my mood, based off how I'm sitting. Weird, but not necessarily terrifying, right? So they throw the note away and move on. But then, 4 days later, another one appears.
Uh-huh.
And the second note showed up around April 19th. Now, this one was different, though, because instead of it being a reminder, it was basically telling OP that there were documents they needed to save.
I'm sorry, what?
Mm-hmm. Now, again, OP still has no memory of writing this. At this point, they started wondering if somebody else was getting into the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So they checked with their landlord. According to OP, the landlord said, no, no one's been inside your apartment, and there's no maintenance or work that has been scheduled.
Okay.
Freaky. Still, something about this doesn't sit right.
No, not at all.
So they decided to set up a webcam in the apartment.
Oh, no.
You're like, not the fucking webcam.
Of course you did.
If somebody really was coming in while OP was gone, they wanted proof. But when they checked the computer later, nothing useful was recorded.
Mm-hmm.
But even stranger, they believed that some of the files from the computer were actually deleted because he noticed that his trash bin was emptied. So they were like, I definitely didn't do that, you know, and some of the webcam files had somehow been deleted as well. So interesting.
Oh, no.
Strange. Now, this is starting to feel like it's not just about weird post-it notes anymore.
No, it's
right?
not. It's starting to feel like...
Like someone may be coming inside the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's looking a little bit strange. And then on April 28th, another note appears.
Mm-hmm.
This one was written on the back of a post-it, and it said, our landlord isn't letting me talk to you, but it's important we do.
Oh, so it's somebody in the building then.
Maybe, but why?
Our right. landlord?
No, but why?
I don't know. Yeah, that's weird.
So that obviously immediately stands out because this time the handwriting also looked very familiar. OP said that it actually reminded them of their landlord's handwriting. So on May 1st, there was another post-it note, but this time it was outside his door, and he noticed that every door in his apartment had a post-it note on it.
Jesus.
In different colors. And they were all blank.
Okay.
Weird. Freaky. Now, they're really starting to think someone's been inside the apartment because who is doing all these things?
Well, yeah, of course. Anyone's going to think that.
Yeah. Maybe the landlord is entering without permission, he's thinking, okay? Because maybe he knows about the webcam. Maybe he's the one that deleted the files. So OP posts this story in the legal advice and subreddit. Now, in Reddit, there's obviously different communities. There is a community and it's called Legal Advice. So it's pretty much a place that you could just ask simple legal questions and people can... Obviously, you have to take things how you want to take you know, because anybody could be typing in there. But that's pretty much where he posts his story because right now he's explaining all the notes and the webcams, the missing files, and how they were and how he's suspicious that the landlord might secretly be entering the apartment. So OP's asking for advice at this point about
how to protect himself.
Yeah, how to protect himself. Yeah, like, if makes you know, sense. How should I go about this? He even types in there like, you know, I just want to make sure I'm covering all my steps because should I confront him? Should I? What should I do? All this stuff. Okay. Most of the responses that he was getting, most of the responses that OP was getting was about locks, you know, tenant rights, cameras. But there was one person that read this story and noticed something completely different. The one person commented and asked if OP had a carbon monoxide detector because this commenter felt like some of the details sounded less like someone breaking into their apartment and more like someone experiencing memory loss.
Oh, shit.
So they even asked if OP had been getting headaches, and OP said yes.
Oh, no. Carbon dioxide poisoning?
They had actually been dealing with pretty bad headaches and assumed that it was just from stress, so they went out and got a carbon monoxide detector. And when they tested the bedroom, the reading came back at around 100 parts per million.
Holy shit.
Yes, which I read that is very fucking high. Like, what I read is that a high carbon monoxide level is above 35 to 50 parts per million. So anything in between 100 to 200 parts per million is a high level and can cause headaches, dizziness, nausea. And obviously with carbon monoxide poison, it could lead to death. Like you can literally die from it. So clearly there's carbon monoxide in his apartment. And suddenly the notes started making a lot more sense to him because there's a possibility that no one else had been leaving them at all. OP may have been writing these notes
himself.
They just don't remember doing it. And so this is where the story becomes genuinely scary because when I was reading these threads, I immediately was like, carbon monoxide, like, I know that's not good, but I wasn't entirely sure why, right? Now, carbon monoxide is colorless. It's also odorless. So you can be breathing it without realizing anything is wrong. And it actually replaces the oxygen in your red blood cells. So when you breathe carbon monoxide in, it'll start starving your vital organs like your brain and your heart of oxygen. And so without oxygen, you're not going to survive.
Mm-hmm.
So as it builds up in your body, it can cause headaches, dizziness, weakness, confusion, shortness of breath, and also changes in your mental state. So in a more serious cases, OP could have lost consciousness or have died because that's...
Yeah. 1,000%
can get there, which explains why the headaches was such an important clue to that commenter that had commented. And it also explains how someone could potentially be doing something like write themselves notes and leaving them around the apartment and have little to no memory of doing it. So all the things happening to OP thinking it was a person entering his apartment suddenly is now there's another possible explanation. Layer. Yes. Yeah. So even though this all makes sense, right, and the strange handwriting and everything, with the confusion of the webcam to all this stuff, which he ends up coming back out and he actually updates people. And so according to OP's update, they contacted their landlord and the source of the carbon monoxide was traced back to the building.
Oh, shit.
Yes. So after figuring out what was happening, OP actually went to the hospital, later came back to Reddit, and he said that after spending just one night away from the apartment, he already felt better.
Oh, wow.
So eventually, OP figured out that the carbon monoxide was likely coming from the building's parking garage because his apartment was directly above the building's garage.
Oh, shit.
Yes. So that
all
seems
the
to
fumes
be
from the cars were basically...
It seemed like that's... Yeah, there was something going on there. So they also went back and looked at the handwriting because Opie was also convinced that it belonged to the landlord, and it didn't. In fact, the letter they had been comparing it to wasn't even from their landlord. It was from, like, their mom or something. But that's how confused...
You can get on it.
Yeah, that's confused wild. That Opie became, because at the end there was no stalker or anything creepy going on.
He was his stalker.
He was his own stalker. Yeah. It was like, he was creeping himself out.
I was
going
to say, if anything, to me, that's even scarier because now you're realizing how close you could have come to death.
No, seriously. No joke. Seriously. Everybody in the comments, too, were saying, like, oh, you owe this commenter the username, like, you owe his life, you owe him your life, like, wow, like, you, like, I can't believe he pretty much saved you. Yeah, because it's like crazy.
Well, and it's crazy because it is supposed to be an odorless gas, right?
Yeah.
I swear I've been able to smell it before, and there was one time that in middle school or elementary school, I came home, I was home earlier than the rest of my family. My sisters had, like, practice for school or whatever. Mm-hmm. I came home and the carbon monoxide detector was beeping. I thought initially it was just batteries, but then I could smell something and I was like,
weird.
Smells a little off. So I went out and went across the street to one of my friend's houses, and their grandpa came over and he was like, no, I think I'm smelling the same thing. We called the fire department. Fire department shows up. My sisters, of course, show up. And they're both like, why is the fire department
they're
here?
They're like, great. Tom got in trouble again. Yeah.
Little did they... We found out our fireplace, anytime the pilot light was on, there was enough gas that was actually still, like, leaking. So anytime we'd actually use our fireplace, we actually had to turn it completely off and shut the gas off.
Wow. Wow.
And so... Wow. My nose was right.
Yeah, thank God,
too.
And
it was low, but I remember they walked in, they have this little detector, and I could hear the detector, like going off.
Yeah.
And it was like it gets louder. It's not like a beep. It's more like think of a continuous hum, but the hum gets, like, louder.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay.
That's so crazy.
Wow, that's crazy. Well, thank God they did notice that, because that's kind of crazy. And that's what I find crazy about this, because he's literally, Opie's going to Reddit for legal advice, not for...
Yeah. But he could have also, during the times he fell asleep, he could have never woken up.
Yeah.
And if he was forgetting that bad to that extent, I mean, that's high levels.
That's bad. Yeah. Yeah, no, 100%.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And thankfully, like, because that little tiny detail, it pretty much saved his life.
You know what? Guys, I'm feeling good so far. Not too bad.
Good. Good. Okay, good. Whoa! Cue lightning strike. Well, you know what's funny? Like, I know you're feeling good about it, but you know what's funny? When I was reading the post, I dead ass was thinking, dude, this story just shouldn't be in legal advice or subreddit. Like, this needs to be on Creepypasta. This is so creepy, because immediately I thought, somebody's breaking into my house. Like, because I was putting myself in his shoes. I'm like, damn, if I were to wake up and find these random post-it notes that, like, it's starting to become clear I did not write them. I immediately was thinking of, like, the Jesse Pinkman from Breaking Bad.
Oh,
when Walter's like, we need to bring the RV to your house. And he's like, my house. Oh, no, not my house. Like, that's literally what I thought. I was like, not my house. Like, you trying to break into my house. It's also creepy as hell to think that you're in your apartment but you're not alone. So I can imagine that's how he felt. That's how Opie felt for a hot minute. And then finding out, like, oh, thank God. It was worse.
I won't lie. I think that part is what's creepiest, because I think about an apartment complex and I'm like, there's no offense to any apartment complex out there, but there's no telling who could potentially have access to your apartment.
It's true, though, yeah.
And that, to me, has always been something that kind of creeps me out about apartments. Mm-hmm. Like, I love apartments.
Because they have access,
they have such cool amenities.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm like, anyone at all could potentially have access to my room.
No, it's so true.
And I don't like that.
And also, you got to think about it. Let's say the maintenance has access to the room. But what if somebody that knows the maintenance guy mm-hmm. now also has a way to access your room. Not because the maintenance mm-hmm. guy's giving your key away, but because maybe they're hanging out. Maybe mm-hmm. they're doing this or that. I don't know. It's just like too many loose ends for me. Too many.
I was also going to say, this is just full transparency, being somebody that has seen that side firsthand. Apartments are technically, after you move out, you're supposed to, every apartment complex uses what's called quick set locks.
Right, to change the keys.
Now, they're technically supposed to be switching those every single time somebody moves out. I know multiple apartment complexes that they do not.
That's terrible.
They just cut fresh keys and say, all right, we're good.
Oh, that's terrible. My God, scary.
I know.
That's what makes it so scary about, oh God. Now anybody living in an apartment that's called to listening right now, they're going to be like, oh, not my house. Our next story starts before the internet became the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So this next story takes us way back to August of 1996. The internet before the internet that we know today.
So we're talking like coding time still.
That's exactly what we're talking about, because the internet obviously existed, but this was way before social media. This is before Facebook and TikTok and Reddit and all these things that we usually spend.
It was just the black screen with the green writing.
Pretty chill. Pretty chill. Black and white. Okay. One of the places that people gathered at this time was called Usenet. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I didn't either. So the actual definition that I found online was Usenet is short for Users Network. So it's a worldwide distributed discussion system available on computers. So the easiest way that I could explain that is that it was Reddit before Reddit.
Huh.
So that's it was pretty, cool. pretty much a place where thousands of different groups of people would post messages and have conversations about specific topics. So pretty much Reddit before Reddit.
Okay. Okay. Makes sense.
All the conversations that people, all the messages that were being posted on here could be all types of topics, religion, computers, politics, science, literally whatever people wanted to talk about, they could go to Usenet and do that. And so on August 5th of 1996, something really fucking weird started showing up.
Mm-hmm.
Usenet groups began getting flooded with messages that looked like complete nonsense. Just random words thrown together. Names, places, okay. objects, scientific terms, words that absolutely had nothing to do with the words around them. Okay, there didn't seem to be a sentence or an actual message. There didn't even seem to be a point to the message. Now go on page 7. I'm going to post the photo on social and also obviously in this YouTube, but I'm just going to read an example of what this message says, okay? Jitterbugging McKinley Abe break Newtonian, inferring call update Cohen Air, collaborate Rue, sports writing Rococo, invocate Tussle Shad Flower. Does this make any sense?
Not whatsoever.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, because of this bizarre messages, people started referring to it as the Markovian parallax denigrate. Now that's a fucking mouthful, right? Why are they relating it to it? It's because that's what the subject header is called.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So the posts are pretty much just these long blocks of words that look like someone had opened a dictionary while they were probably like drunk as hell. And they were like, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, and add them all into this fucking thing. Because I'm telling you that it makes no sense. It makes no sense. And
it looks like one of those typing tests.
It does. No, it's very true. Like, keep, figuring it, like, teaching
it's
you how
like
to type.
He was Apple. And you're like, what?
Yeah, no, it's literally
the most
this.
Randomest.
Debbing, Strailing, Pathologist, Escritator, Adventurous, Novo, ITT, Most, Chairperson, Dwight, Herzog, Different. Like, that's literally what it is. It's
so weird.
Weird. And a lot of these messages, because it was different, there was, like, hundreds of these messages that were being sent out. They were being sent to different types of groups. So, and it would be like religious groups, scientific groups, like literally all over everywhere. Okay. Now, most people at the time seem to have been just treating them like spam because, I mean, I would have too. Like,
yeah.
I remember when I wrote my first message, you know what I mean? Like, it's going to be like, I remember when I had my first beer. Like, okay. But this is important because nobody knew at the time that they were looking at something people would still be talking about 30 years later.
For real?
Yeah, because this happened in 1996. People are still talking about this till this day.
I've not heard about this.
There's a lot. That's why have I'm you asking. Heard of the Kentucky Meat Shower?
Okay, no. Well, now I have. But anyways.
But no, it's true. People are still talking about it, okay? So a lot of the original posts are gone from what I could see. There seems to be only like one or a few that are preserved, and it's one of the ones that you're looking at right now. So there was plenty of other ones. Now today, only pieces of what happened are still easily available, accessible through like old internet archives. But the pieces that survived left people with a pretty obvious question. Was this actually random nonsense, or was there something hidden inside of it? Mind you, it is really random.
It is, but it also gives one of those papers that you have to unscramble the words, and that ends up actually creating something.
Okay.
Or that it is, and I can't, there's a, I think an actual name for it. There's a form of secret writing. Typically
kind of like the Zodiac killer almost?
Similar, yeah. It's like its own used language. By like spies, and yeah. It'll be like every third or fourth letter is actually the letter actual, that you need to put together. And each line is actually where the words are.
Right. Okay.
But, yeah. I don't know what the hell that's called, but maybe it's that too. I don't know.
Okay. Well, this is where people started paying attention to one word in particular. The first word in the subject.
Jitterbug? Oh.
Oh, no.
Markovian?
Markovian. Because unlike most of the gibberish that it seems like it's writing, that word actually describes something that could explain what everyone's looking at. So Markovian is actually a real word. And it is a mathematical process. A Markovian chain is basically a way of predicting what comes next based on what came immediately before it. Okay, so the easiest way that I was able to read this, because I read the definition and everything, and I was like, okay, so what I'm gathering is, like, think about this as, like, the predictive text above your keyboard in Apple. And, you know, if I type, I'm going to the, my phone, my keyboard might suggest store, gym, beach, right?
But instead, you're just, this is just written by using store.
Right, because it's assuming.
But what it's meaning.
Based off what came before.
Okay.
Yeah, so if I see, right. So it's basically looking at what came before and saying, okay, what would probably come next?
So.
You know, if I say, I'm going to the, maybe next would be store, gym, beach.
Once people started realizing that this was part of that, did anyone start trying to decipher it by kind of going and reverse engineering that process?
Okay. So in this case, with the text, you could feed a computer a bunch of words, right? Let it look at the patterns between them and then have it generate new combinations based on the patterns. But from what I was reading, the result, as you could see, looks like its own language. But when you read it and realize that it makes absolutely no fucking sense, one of the biggest theories became that the posts were some kind of early experiment in computer-generated text. So I know your thought is like, why don't we reverse engineer it?
But if it was some of the first generations of AI, then...
We're not really sure.
Yeah.
But also, not that I didn't see anybody actually talk about reverse engineering, so maybe... They should. That's not a bad way to look at it. But we'll get more into it because there's still a little bit, there's more to it. So one of the biggest theories is that it became some kind of early experiment in computer generated text. Okay. Maybe someone was testing a program or it was like an academic experiment. But it also could have been someone screwing around with technology that was still relatively new at the time. But there was a problem with that because nobody ever really came forward and said, yeah, that was me. I was messing around with that. And like everybody, they were sending out hundreds of it. Which is where it kind of leads
that it could be some type of generative. That makes sense.
Yeah. And so without knowing who created the messages, people started looking for answers inside the words themselves. Because you even said it a little bit ago. What if this is actually on purpose? So if the messages weren't just random computer generated text, the next obvious theory was, is it code for something? People started looking for patterns between the words, wondering if maybe the nonsense was only supposed to look like nonsense to kind of throw you off. And they even compared it to number stations, which what I was reading is what you were saying. our mysterious radio broadcasts, especially associated with the Cold War, mm-hmm. where a voice would read out loud strings of numbers or letters or words over a shortwave radio. So to anybody listening like this, it sounds like
gibberish.
But many of those broadcasts are believed to have been coded messages meant for maybe intelligence agencies or agents, mm-hmm. like you said. And it reminds me of like Stranger Things, because there's a scene in one of the seasons where they find a broadcast and it's a Russian man like reading a sentence that made absolutely mm-hmm. no sense to us or like to the characters, until during the show they started noticing that it was actually a secret message telling them about a meeting place.
Okay.
So when you said that, I was just like, ah, that's literally what they're thinking. So people wondered if the same thing is happening here. Maybe the random words are meant to form a sentence, or they each represent something else. But the problem was that despite people trying to crack the messages over the years, nobody has found a convincing hidden message inside them. Okay. And honestly, maybe there isn't one, and maybe it is just spam generated by a computer. Could be, right? They could have also been somebody trolling Usenet in 1996 and accidentally created an internet mystery that they didn't think would end up becoming an internet mystery, right? Mm-hmm. You know, because people who love to troll on the internet are going to do whatever the fuck they need to do. Yeah. Which, if for context of anybody who doesn't know what a troller is, it's pretty much slang for when a person posts offensive messages online to deliberately, like they do it on purpose to deliberately gain.
I was going
to say, get you to comment back.
I think now they've actually even transitioned that. I've been noticing there's a new phrase that's being used.
Oh, is there? What is it?
Rage baiter.
Oh, yeah. Rage baiter. Yeah. That's pretty much what they are. Exactly. And sometimes you think, like, sometimes they're not, but it's kind of hard sometimes with the internet because...
Yeah, there's some people that are just like that.
You could tell,
and you're like, wow, you're just rage baiting.
Right.
And then you realize, oh, this is who you actually are.
You're like,
I'm going to just stay away from you.
Yeah, I'm just not going to hang out with you. But that's one of the theories, too. Like, maybe it is just the computer had came
just
up with...
messed up.
Could have been that. But then people noticed something attached to one of the surviving messages. There was a name, and it was Susan Lindor. Now you're probably thinking, who the fuck is Susan? Because mm-hmm. I thought the same thing. I'm like, who the fuck is Susan? It's not in this one, but it was in one of the
other ones,
one of the hundreds. Okay.
Well,
the name attached to one of the surviving posts was Susan Lindor, and years later that name caught people's attentions for a completely different reason, because there was actually an American journalist and a former congressional staffer named Susan Lindor, who in 2004 was charged with acting as an unregistered agent of the Iraqi government.
Oh, shit.
She was a U.S. traitor and alleged spy for Saddam Hussein's Iraqi government.
Oh, shit.
She had accepted $10,000 from Hussein's government. She was never charged with spying or espionage.
Time out. Hold on.
You're
I'm
like,
sorry.
Wait a damn minute.
You only accepted $10,000 to betray a country? $10,000.
What is that, like $25,000 today's date?
Probably.
Yeah, but still.
It ain't much.
It ain't much.
What? Yeah. What?
Well, she was never charged with spying or espionage because she said what she was doing was misunderstood because she was just trying to aid Iraqi citizens. But that doesn't look good.
No, not at all.
It doesn't look good, right? The bigger question, though, with her at the time was actually her sanity, because the judge even found her incompetent to stand trial that it was ordered for further evaluation. So, like, there was something really going on there. She had a history of paranoia, and I found it... I mean, not that it's funny, but this instance is that she also felt like people were watching her when in reality they actually were, because they were tapping her phones. They were actually tapping her phones.
They're like, we have a reason.
Yeah, like we actually... So, low-key, you're not wrong.
Yes, the NSA is actively listening to everything you are doing.
Exactly. But either way, they actually dropped the prosecution on her, the case on her in 2009. So naturally... Once people connected the name to this weird wall of possible coded text messages in 1996, the conspiracy theories went absolutely insane. So was this some kind of intelligence communication, like you said? Were there random words actually messages that's being passed to someone? You know, why could nobody crack them? Except there was a major problem, because Suzanne actually ends up saying later that she had nothing to do with the posts.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm also like, if she did, If it really was her, I don't know. Was she admitted or was she not? I don't know.
I mean, who knows? I also then wonder if maybe it was another agency. If,
could be.
Even though she was mentally more or less unfit, dismissed from her charges, what if it was a potential other agency trying to contact her?
Maybe.
And
who
this
knows?
Is their way that they were able to send a message, coded message.
Yeah, because it just doesn't sound good. Doesn't look good, right?
No, it doesn't. But I'm also like, we live in a world of AI now.
Tom's like, oh my God, we need to recrack these cases.
No, I won't lie, guys. I'm like so eager. I wish it wasn't so late because I would 1,000%, and I probably will tomorrow at some point when I get some free time. I'm 1,000% going to be screwing with this.
To see if you can figure out a pattern.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get it. Well, they dug around and found that the email address attached to one of the messages that we know of today belonged to a different Susan, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a student at a University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point. But even then, that led to nowhere because the address appears to have been spoofed, which basically means that someone could make a Usenet post look like it came from an email address that actually wasn't theirs.
Ah, the old click and bait switch.
Click and bait switch. So the name that looked like it might finally lead back to whoever created these messages probably didn't lead to anywhere at all. And the mystery's kind of right back where it started. But just the fact that there's that somewhat connection with Suzanne Lindor, the one that was like the Iraq, you know what I mean? Like it's kind of,
imagine this actually is the Zodiac killer admitting and actually saying who he is. But once again, he's come out with such a a deciphered message.
Yeah.
Yeah. Deciphered message. That's so hard to crack and nobody's going to figure it out, that now once again, we have the evidence, but nobody can figure it out.
But nobody
imagine
can figure
that
it out.
That's what it actually
is. Yeah. And it's kind of crazy, too, because people who were actually using Usenet when this happened, everybody was just chalking it up as like, dude, this is just spam. Someone's just sending all this shit and it makes no fucking nonsense. Doesn't make any sense, really. So there's also been researchers that I saw who have gone back through the messages that are still out there and have found signs that the words may have simply just been pulled randomly from different word lists.
Damn.
So even the name Markovian Parallax Denigrate has gotten a little distorted over time. So you'll sometimes hear that hundreds of posts all had this exact same three-word title, but in reality, it's not true.
Damn.
So that's the other thing, too. Like, we're not sure because we also don't have all the messages. I mean, it could have been a response. You know, it could have been an actual answer of something. But if we had all the messages, we'd be able to actually see the different titles and, you know, what this meant and what that meant. But honestly, that still makes this whole thing kind of creepy because
it
makes you think about literally the internet after dark. Like, what is... And this is back then where there was no, like, guardrails. Like, this is before the internet became what we know today.
Well, and the thing is, though, too, to this day, and I've taught you this and I've been very open and told you everything, like the more you get into the internet you realize that for anyone that doesn't know, think of the internet like an iceberg. Glacier.
It's always
a glacier. We're barely touching everything that you guys think you have access to.
Barely.
There is so much more to the internet that is all the way deeper. That's called the dark web, deep web.
Yeah.
And it's not all bad. There is a lot of just innocent stuff on the dark web and the deep web.
Yeah.
But there's so much more that you can access on the internet than
that you would
what
even
you guys think that think. You can just access.
Yeah. I'd also kind of another analogy I like to use when it comes to the internet is, you know how like we only know 3% of the ocean?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same
That's
thing.
That's kind
like,
of the same thing, yeah.
We only know like 3% of the internet and the rest
That's true.
Is a playing ground. Like we don't really know. We don't know. And that's what makes it like such a creepy internet lore.
And especially at this time, I feel like during this, that era specifically, like now we have, and I mean, back then you could still track some stuff, but now it's a lot easier to track certain things. Yeah. Even if you are using something like NordVPN or another cover up to kind of switch your IP address.
No,
or
like
hide
now you have to get
stuff,
more creative with it.
A lot of your stuff can still be tracked back and broken through to be able to figure out exactly who is accessing, who sent this,
where's
who did
it coming
this,
from?
What computer,
at what time.
Jinx,
you
owe
me
a
foot
rub.
Thanks.
I gotcha.
Thanks, baby. I appreciate you.
But tomorrow.
No, it's too late.
But, you know, like that, that to me is where this gets creepy. Because honestly, if I were to have received a message like this, and I think back to early 2000s me when I was on the internet.
On the internet,
and I would
make
my fake, I'd make my AIMs so that I could message my friends.
Yeah.
If I had gotten a message like this, I won't lie, I think I would have shit my pants.
No, that literally.
The government was coming after me, or some serial killer was going to come kill me.
Yeah.
I mean, I told you, that was always my concern was, for whatever reason,
America's most wanted.
America's most wanted. They were going to choose my little tiny house in the middle of Indiana, where I had grown up at that time, and they were going to choose that house to go break into and kill me, even though these most wanted people were like in California or some shit.
They also don't even know who you are.
Yeah.
They don't.
But for whatever
reason,
they're going to target me because I was watching the most wanted show.
That's how they got you.
That's true.
Yeah. And honestly, you'll see, because this is the first episode of Internet After Dark when it comes to the series. But like, there is so much more. Exactly what Tom is saying. If you thought that maybe these stories today aren't like that crazy, it just gets worse. It's so bad. The internet has the worst things that you can imagine. Okay, so our last story is going to take us to Brisbane, Australia in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
This was posted on the Reddit thread, Let's Not Meet. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
Okay, well, Let's Not Meet is actually a subreddit, which is a place where some of the creepiest, spine tingliest, scary true stories about people you never want to meet again. This is where you go and you post all about that. Okay. Now, the person who shared this story was 19 at the time. OP was 19 and still living at home with their parents and younger sister. Their dad had recently gotten Foxtel, which from what I was seeing is basically Australian cable TV.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, what the hell is that?
What's Foxtel? So, because this is taking place in Australia. Now, the problem was the cable box was connected to the TV in the living room, and OP wanted to be able to watch it from the TV in their bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
So their dad bought an AV transmitter, basically.
Nice.
Yeah, you connect the little box to the cable TV in one room. Yep, and then you split it into another box in the TV somewhere else in the house.
Guys, that was the way we did shit back then when you were broke and you couldn't afford to have
more than one box. Yeah.
You just ran cables.
So exactly, the first box sends the video signal wirelessly, and the second one picks it up. Pretty normal. So one Saturday, OP's downstairs in their bedroom trying to get the whole box working in their room. Their younger sister was upstairs, and nobody else was home. So at first, nothing was popping up on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
OP kept changing the channels, the cables, messing with the buttons and everything, trying to figure out why it couldn't get a picture. And then suddenly something started coming through.
Mm-hmm.
It was fuzzy at first, but there was definitely a video signal. So naturally, Opie thought, finally, I got it. Okay, finally, it's freaking working.
Time to just put some aluminum foil on this shit and
start cranking it up.
Get that picture going.
But then they remembered something. The cable box in the living room wasn't even on.
Okay.
So whatever the signal was coming through on their TV wasn't theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Go to your next photo. As the picture slowly became clear, they finally make out what they were looking out. Just so you guys know, there are photos. OP had attached photos. So as the picture slowly became clear, they could finally figure out what they were looking at. It was a bed. It's pretty much a bedroom. Okay, you see the bed frame.
Yep, clearly see it.
It's creepy. The static.
Well, I was feeling great in this episode up until this point.
So, for a second, OP actually thought that it was their bed. He even calls her sister to come down and check it out. They immediately freak out. But then they realize that it wasn't their bedroom. Mm-hmm. Opie even had said that they recently were watching Saw 2 and remembered the scene where the main character was being watched in her apartment. So Opie immediately was like, dude, this has to be my room because who else's mm-hmm. signal is this? But since it wasn't, it was kind of like a relief for about 5 seconds because now they had an entirely different problem. Whose room is this? Yeah, whose room is this? The only thing they knew for sure was that their receiver had somehow had to have picked up a signal from somewhere nearby.
Mm-hmm.
Some type of nearby wireless camera. Eventually, their parents come home and the family figured the camera probably had to be somewhere close. Maybe somebody nearby had installed a security camera, or maybe one of the neighbors were maybe secretly filming themselves, they thought.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe catching one of them cheating, or maybe even creating like their own movie. You know, you really don't know what people are doing in their homes.
That's true.
So it's very true. You really don't know. So around 6 o'clock that evening, someone finally walks into the bedroom.
Yo, y'all been sitting there and just haven't... I mean, I would too, I guess, because honestly, I'd be like...
I would too. Well, I'd probably be figuring out like, where, I don't know. What is this?
I think I would struggle so hard because I'd be like, I want to know, but I don't want to know.
I mean, I want to know, but I don't want to know. I know. I mean, I think I would probably
just throw the whole TV out.
Yeah. Tom's like, forget the receiver. We're going back.
We're selling the house.
So they see somebody around 6 o'clock that evening finally walk into the bedroom. OP's dad looks at the screen and recognizes him.
What?
It was their neighbor.
Oh, shit.
For more than a week, the family would occasionally check the feed. Okay. At first, they assumed the neighbors knew the camera was there because they really thought, Opie and their family really mm-hmm. thought that it had something to do with maybe they were trying to catch their partner cheating or something.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And they just so happened to have picked up the signal and they're like, oh, shit, we're getting into some messy crap that we're not...
All right, guys, gather around, grab the popcorn.
It's Saturday.
Neighbors having an affair. Let's see
if Steve's coming or going. Either way, after a few days, that type of novelty wore off, and they stopped paying as much attention to it. And then one day, they turned the feed on while the neighbors were out.
Yo, I can't. Y'all funny, man. Like, you know what? Let's just forget about it. All of a sudden, just sitting around.
What's one more?
Anyone want to turn it on one more time?
What's one more?
Fuck it. Let's just go see.
Well, at the time, their house, the neighbor's house, had been undergoing renovations. So different workers had been coming and going during the day. And while they were watching, a man walks into the bedroom. They recognize him as one of the plumbers working on the house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at first, nothing really seemed that strange until he starts opening the dresser drawers. And he starts going through the wife's underwear.
Oh, Jesus.
And he's starting to sniff it.
Ew.
And he's starting to, like, touch them all and put it all over his face. At that point, Opie called their mom over because it was just the two of them.
Are there photos of this?
No. Because there's two of them that are in the house. So they're standing there watching the screen, realizing something is very, very wrong. And then the plumber stops and walks directly to the camera.
What?
As if he's watching them. Looks straight into the lens, and then he starts adjusting it. And that's when they realized, wait a minute, the camera doesn't belong to the neighbors.
It belongs to the plumber.
It belongs to the plumber. So Opie's dad went over to the neighbor's house and told him what they had seen. And the neighbors had absolutely no idea that there was a camera in their bedroom. They didn't know at all. So they let him go upstairs and look for it. They're like, oh, you know where the camera is. Like, show us. Eventually, they find where the camera had been hidden. It was actually behind a device installed in the wall that was supposed to monitor water usage.
Yo.
Now, at the time, OP says that Brisbane, Australia had been dealing with a drought restriction. So having something like that installed was not suspicious. Nothing weird mm-hmm. about it. But the plumber had been the one who installed it, except he hid a camera behind the device pointed directly at the bed.
What the hell?
As you see in the photos.
Is that...
I'm not entirely sure if that is said plumber. I mean, I just know that that's the photo honest, that they
this
post.
Guy don't look like a plumber. This guy looked normal.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure what the...
Jesus.
So the neighbors, as you can imagine, called the police. And for the next couple of weeks, Opie's family didn't really hear much about what happened. Until one day, Opie's mom was talking to the neighbor, the wife next door, and she told her what the police had discovered. The plumber apparently hadn't just installed the camera and walked away. At night, he had allegedly been coming back to their street, parking on the street, sitting inside his really tinted windowed car, and watching the camera feed from his laptop overnight.
Oh my God.
Mind you, Opie says that the neighbors were having renovations done during the week for a whole month. So they were gone mostly during the workday.
Yeah.
So we don't even know everything else that happened in the house.
Jesus.
But enough for this man
to have freaked me out.
I would feel like I can't even live
there. Did he get
arrested? So that the last detail that Opie realized about, I'll answer that question because we don't know much about that actually. So yeah, let me answer that question now. Opie doesn't really know much about what happened afterwards. And I even try to like Google to see if maybe I could find anything, but nothing.
Hmm.
I also don't know if like Australia probably has a different archive system or whatnot. Yeah. So the last detail that Opie realized about this after they learned about this was that they actually remembered this car. It was a station wagon with dark tinted windows that would sometimes be parked about 30 meters down from the street from their house late at night. Opie had seen it more than once. It was never there during the day, only at night.
Yo.
And because they were only 19 at the time, there had been plenty of nights when they came home late from like their girlfriend's house or walked home after drinking with friends. And Opie said that they would actually pass that car on the way home. And sometimes he would even look at his reflection in the windows, assuming nobody was inside the car.
Yeah, it's creepy as hell, man.
But according to what the neighbor said, that could have very much been the plumber in the car. Which means most likely Opie would notice this car. The creepy pervert plumber could have been sitting inside with his laptop, mm-hmm. looking at the feed, doing God knows what. So Opie later says that they never really learned exactly what happened with a plumber because their parents handled most of the communication with the neighbors. They did say that they were told that he was caught, but they weren't sure that what the punishment was that he received. Okay.
Makes sense.
But Opie's post is still online, and they even included photos that they took of the camera feed at the time and the hidden camera that they saw from their room, which is just so creepy.
No, I mean, the first photo in itself is absolutely insane.
Yeah, because it's just so, oh God, it's so eerie. It honestly like sent spine. And I remember when I read this story, it was at nighttime. And I was like, oh my God, because it really makes you start thinking like, is there a camera in my house? Could, you know, when have I ever had people come in here? Maybe I took my eye off of them. You just never really know. And imagine when this nasty ass perverted man probably installed that camera, what he had probably seen.
Oh, for sure.
Like, it's 1,000%,
especially
icky.
If this was the two adults' bedroom.
Yeah, and I don't even know if they had kids. Like, I don't know that. Yeah. I don't know that much information
also,
either,
but
still.
Also, the fact that he knew exactly what drawer was her underwear drawer, nasty as fuck.
I know, and you know for a fact this is probably not his first time.
Absolutely not.
Not his first time,
It's just
real.
His first time being seen do it.
Seen doing it, yeah, and caught. And if it wasn't for OP and their family to have gotten that second box and then have... You know what I'm saying? Like, same thing with the first
everything
story.
Everything just so happened to...
Yeah. First story, OP is messaging about legal advice and then someone's like, hey, do you have, like, a carbon monoxide monitor? Same thing here. They're like, oh, OP wants to watch TV in
we
his
just
room.
Yeah.
And it's
and
like...
And it leads to that. Like, what?
I know. That to me, and it's such creepy under such strange and like spooky circumstances. It's so like disturbing. I can't. It's too much.
Damn.
And those are tonight's Internet After Dark stories, guys. I don't know which one bothers me the most, to be quite honest with you, but I already know.
I'll be honest. The last one really.
That messed you up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say it's almost a tie between the last and the second one. The only thing that would have made either worse is if they were actually all part of the same story.
Oh my God, imagine that would have been insane.
One,
yeah.
The random message, and then all of a sudden you discover this random camera in your neighbor's house after getting that random message. That would Tom's then like, make it really rough.
Creepy.
I'd be like, holy hell, somebody, creepy. I'm dead. Somebody's monitoring me. I don't know what the it's fuck so they're telling
bad.
Me.
It's
I'm,
so
I'm
bad.
Dead. I'm a dead.
It's over. It's over. Yeah. I'm telling you, it was so spooky. So I hope you guys enjoyed it because I think I'm going to keep doing more episodes. Did you like these?
I enjoyed it.
Do you like
yeah.
the Internet After Dark series?
Yeah, maybe not this late, but.
Why?
Because now I.
You feel you gotta want to go check, make sure there's no cameras.
No,
in the house.
I think I'm gonna grab my fourth wing book and read some of it.
Escape.
I mean, the fourth book is coming out soon, so I.
It's true.
I'm gonna just have my excuse. That's why I need to read.
It's true. It's true.
Escape to Fantasyland.
I know. I know some of our listeners
dragons.
Are fourth read. Dragons. Nothing that has to do with the strange, sinister, or spooky whatsoever.
Dragons.
Well, if you've ever found something online that sent you down a rabbit hole, send it to us. I'd love to read it and also scare. If you want to scare Tom, let me know. Okay? Want to put him in a headspace like this?
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for joining us today on Macabre Mondays. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. And we're also on YouTube. Okay? So you can hang out with us and we can hang out in the room with you.
We chilling.
Yeah, we chilling. And if you know more about today's episode or caught a detail we might have missed, let us know.
And if you guys have a story that's strange, sinister, or downright spooky, doesn't matter how small you may think it is, please send it our way. You can email us at macabremondayspodcast@gmail.com or head over to macabremondays.com and submit your story. Yours just might be featured in an upcoming listener episode.
Follow us on social media by searching Macabre Mondays for photos of today's episode, updates, and a little extra spooky fun. We'll see you next Monday for another sinister, strange, and spooky episode. Stay tuned. More mysteries just around the corner. But until then, stay curious and stay safe, friends.
Deuces.
Bye.